Welcome to Orphans No More, a media extension of Justice for Orphans, a ministry dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, inspiring, educating, and equipping believers to care for vulnerable children, and supporting those who have heard and heeded the call of James 1:27. Here's your host, Sandra Flack.
Remember the wondrous works that he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he has uttered. And that is from Psalm 105, verse 5. I'm Sandra Flack. Thank you for joining us today for episode number 213 of the Orphans No More podcast, where we pray that you'll find inspiration, encouragement, and hope. I'm so excited to bring you today's guest. Rebecca Radicki is a writer, adoptive mom, and orphan advocate, and you're going to love hearing her story. But first, how are you doing? We at Justice for Orphans are praying for you. You're probably listening from home. We're recording this episode from home today. So if you hear kids yelling or dogs barking, we're all in the same boat. So I want to encourage you. God is our protector and our provider. If you are struggling during this time of isolation because of the coronavirus pandemic, please go back and listen to episode number 212 of the Orphans No More podcast. There I offer hope during this dark time and discuss ways to shine the light of Christ to our most vulnerable neighbors. So be sure to check that out. And as always, leave us a review. Don't forget to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. So now, please welcome our guest today, Rebecca Radicki. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Sandra.
It is so great to have you on and to just chat and have this conversation. And I love your story, so I'm excited for our listeners to hear it. You and your husband, Mark, are parents to four kids, one biological and three adopted from China. So let's just start at the beginning. What led you and Mark to adopt?
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. It's my joy and honor. So thank you for this opportunity. My husband and I have talked about adoption since our very first date, because when I was a teenager, my early teens, I feel like the Lord literally just placed that seed in my heart, and that there's no other explanation for that, because I was not around other adopted families, around adopted children, had never really read about it. It was just something that came from the Lord. My parents still recall me talking about it as a very young girl. And then I met my husband on my freshman year of college, and he asked me out on a date. And on that first date, I let him know, which is hilarious to us now, that I wanted to adopt, and that was part of what I felt God had led me to and wanted for my life, and it's just the prayer that I'd held on to, and just was letting him know and wondering if he was okay with that, if we continued on dating. So it really has just always been part of my heart, and so part of my marriage from the very beginning as well.
That's incredible. I love how God really just planted that seed in your heart, and it stuck with you, and it sprouted and it grew, and yes. You adopted three children. So, and you also tell us that you were telling me that story of deciding to start your family, and you sort of simultaneously took the simultaneous approach, I guess we could say. Tell us about that.
Absolutely. Well, after being married for a few years, my husband and I were having dinner one night, and I looked at him and just said, you know, are we going to start our family? What's our plan here? We've always talked about adopting. Was part of our plan from the beginning. We assumed that we would also try to have biological children. So at that dinner, we just decided and pray together that the Lord would start our family in the way that he saw fit. And so that week, by the end of that week, we had already scheduled our first adoption orientation and just began the process of trying to start our family simultaneously and however God wanted to bring our first children to us.
Yeah.
So you did in that process, because adoption is a long drawn out process. You had your first biological.
Yes.
And then you pursued adoption and you adopted your three other children from China. Why did you choose China?
Part of that original seed that the Lord planted in my mind, the child that I would adopt, was always Asian. And I just always had a heart and I've always been fascinated by all Asian cultures, not necessarily China specifically, but just in general. I always was the one in high school who had the heart and the interest in the international exchange students from all the Asian countries. So it was just part of the seed that God planted. And when we started the process and began to look into it, that process was the one that stood out to us, and we prayed, and it was pretty clear right from the start.
And I love how God does that, because the scripture says that he sets the lonely in families. So I believe that he knows exactly who he's going to set in our family. And I know when he put international adoption on my heart, I knew it was Ukraine. And maybe because our pastor at the time had adopted children from Ukraine and his daughter was a missionary there. But to me, it was just, well, that's obviously where we're going to adopt from. There was never any question for us. And I find talking with a lot of other families, the Lord puts that on your heart and puts the country that you're going to be adopting from. Or some people are just very drawn to foster care and adopting through foster care. So God really leads us to our kids, the kids that he has for us. So I love that.
How long
was the process to adopt from China at that time? Because this is going back, what year was this?
This was, let's see, 2008. We started the process, I believe. I might be off on that date. But at that time, at our first orientation meeting, we were told that the process would take about a year. But it, in fact, once we started within the first 6 months, that timeline for anyone listening who might have adopted from China is aware of the timeline. There was a time period when it just absolutely extended and lengthened and lengthened and lengthened and more obstacles. So our process that was supposed to be a year ended up being more, almost five.
Wow, 5 years.
5 years. So in that time, we had a biological daughter, our oldest.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So 5 years, that is a lot. But you did, you made a switch in plans. You changed adoption agencies. Kind of tell us that part that kind of started things moving.
Yes. Well, when we started our process, like so many others at that time, we had asked for a girl, a baby girl, as young as possible and fully healthy. That's just where we were at that time. So we waited about 4 years with those requests for what the child that we wanted. And then the Lord, again, made it very clear that it was time to consider special needs adoption. And we stepped into that very tentatively. I would love to have said that we were brave right from the start, and you are given a checklist of special needs within the China program that you are willing to, of children whose files you're willing to look at. And honestly, we were pretty tentative. And just, I think we listed just very basic, very simple special needs. So we continued to wait because those, of course, were also a lot of other people's requests. And we waited and we waited. And then a friend called us and just said, if you're willing to adopt a special needs child, I just feel like I'm to tell you to pray over changing agencies, pray about the special needs that you're willing to accept. And we did that. We changed from a very large agency, which was absolutely wonderful. They're a well-oiled machine, wonderful people. But we just literally got a call and felt like we were to change to a very, very small agency run by a Chinese national. And we received a referral within the next week of switching over our paperwork. So it was clearly a God thing. It was, he had us wait and he had us wait and he had us wait. And we learned so much during that time. It was incredibly difficult, but lots of learning, lots of deepening of our faith. Mm-hmm. And then when it was time, it was just time. And we made that call and found, we're given a referral for our daughter within a couple of weeks. Wow. Really sweet. Really yeah. sweet.
That's totally a God story.
Absolutely. So
you adopted your daughter from China. She was 18 months old at the time. What, yes. Did she have special needs?
She had just a repaired, she had a cleft palate that was repaired in country. So she was really, other than speech needs, very healthy when we got to her in China. Yes.
Wonderful. And that was about 2011, I think you had shared with me.
Yes, 2011.
But you knew you were going to adopt again pretty quickly. So tell us, at what point did you know for sure this was not going to be your only adoption?
Well, I knew for sure on the day that we adopted Claire. We flew to China and arrived at her orphanage in a van. The orphanage was in the Sichuan province. Massive orphanage, probably 500 or 600 children there. Pulled up in a van, and I think in my mind, in my heart, I had hoped it would be a small building, small orphanage, but it was massive. And that was just hard on the heart to realize, looking up at this massive building with all the windows, realizing that there were children, rooms full of children within each of those windows. And then out from the front door as we were walking in came a line full of children, probably 15 kids, that were being led out to go to school outside of the orphanage. So they walked out actually on a little rope, all with little backpacks. And it was just gut-wrenching to realize that this was their life. This was their, I was an elementary teacher at the time. And, you know, it was easy before I knew better to imagine that orphanages were filled with little babies that were all going to be adopted. And it was just a reality that that's not the case. So we knew. We had that, you know, we received Claire, and by the time we got back to the hotel, I had already mentioned to Mark that I hope he felt the same way, but I really wanted to adopt again.
Yeah.
It was immediate.
Yeah, and you were already ready to sign up again. So how long in between adopting your first daughter from China and the second adoption happened, how long in between there?
We started within, I think, a year and a half to 2 years after coming home with Claire. It was evident that that's what we were supposed to do again. So we started as quickly as we could get settled and adjust and start the paperwork process again.
Wow. So your second adoption, mm-hmm. Tell us how you found your youngest daughter, which was part of the second adoption.
Yes. Well, we were in the process and we assumed that the process would go as our first adoption had gone, where we would wait and receive a referral. I did look through a few websites or lists, agency lists of children that were available for adoption, but just never felt like we had found our child. And then I was sitting in gymnastics. One day, my daughter was doing gymnastics, and as we often do, I was scrolling through my phone looking at Facebook, and a friend had shared the photo of our daughter now. As we were talking earlier, those of us who have Hearts for Adoption or have adopted, often our social media feeds are a stream of children, especially back at that time, that needed families and were up for adoption. And I'd seen so many of those and always had a heart and felt burdened for kids who were still waiting in general, but I had kept scrolling. But that day, as I sat on the sidelines of gymnastics, that little face, that was my daughter. That was our daughter. So I immediately sent her photo to my husband and just didn't say much. I just said, this little girl, I'm this little girl. And so I just asked permission to ask, you know, talk to him about if he would be okay with my pursuing her file, looking into it a bit more. Our daughter was on a website, on a feed for Love Without Boundaries, which is an organization that began in China and has done lots and lots of work in China within orphanages, healing homes, medical care. And she was at that time in a healing home, Heartbridge Healing Home in Beijing. And the post was very clear that she needed a home immediately if she was going to live. And a friend had shared that, and that stopped me in my tracks. I knew immediately that was our girl. And just hope God would go along. Hope I was seeing what God wanted me to see.
Yeah. So did you reach out to Love Without Boundaries or your agency? What came next?
I did. I opened their website in that particular post and was sad, because selfishly, to see that there was a long list of people who commented that they'd be interested. How do we find out more? How do we find out more? So I emailed the organization, Love Without Boundaries, but also contacted our agency and just asked what the likelihood of our being able to adopt a child in the situation who wasn't officially on one of their lists. And they're wonderful. We adopted through Lifeline, that second adoption, and they were wonderful, but were honest with me and told me it was like a needle in a haystack, that clearly there were lots and lots of people who were also touched by that post. It was also, that particular week was, fell within a Chinese holiday, one in which the government's basically shut down for about 2 weeks. So that added some complication to it, and ended up just being yet another incredible God story, because as the agency looked into it, she was a child that they had on a list, on an available list that they had access to about 2 years earlier. She was about two at the time that she was being shared when we saw her face. But she had been on their list, and we went back and realized that we had even inquired about her when she was tiny.
Wow.
Which was incredible. And yeah, and just lots and lots and lots of other people had it to say at the time. And so at that time when we inquired about her, other people were before us. And so lots of other people received her file, looked at her file, and many, many people received her file and just returned it feeling like that her medical needs were too complicated, too scary, too much. So her file, for whatever reason, and the red tape, was returned to the CCWA, and just a long process, but then was returned back to them, and they looked again, very complicated, to make a long story short, had received her file again after many, many people from even other agencies had also received her file. One family, actually I think two families, had received her file and started the process and gone through the paperwork process to start pursuing her and getting themselves to China. One of those families was told as they were getting ready to travel that that their agency didn't feel like that she would live until they got there and probably wouldn't survive the ride home, the flight home. So they released that file, ended up going back to our agency miraculously, and by God's grace, I should say, and when I pursued it, they realized that several other people who this child was made the connection and told me that, again, many people had requested her file and there were many people technically in front of us. The beautiful thing is, several days later, they told us that they had prayed about it as an organization and just felt very, very clearly that she was to be ours. Mm-hmm. So the Lord moved all kinds of ways over and over and over again in her story, in our story, to make that file land in our hands.
Oh, that's amazing. And I love how your adoption agency prayed about it and they just knew she was your daughter.
Yes.
So that is amazing.
So deeply grateful.
Yeah.
It would not be, it was not a business to them. It's a ministry. So.
Yeah. And that's Lifeline. And we'll make sure that in the show notes, we'll put a link to Lifeline as well as Love Without Boundaries, because we want folks to be able to learn more about those organizations as well. And hey, social media can be used for good stuff too, because in your case, it led you to your daughter, which I think is amazing. So you did travel to China and you brought home your youngest daughter, and what was, it seemed like she had an extreme medical condition. What can you share with us about that?
She did. She has urology and colorectal, some spinal issues and needs, kidney disease. She was very, very fragile. She was indeed needing a family in order to live. Love Without Boundaries had flown her all over to several other cities within China for surgeries. She had had multiple surgeries as she waited for a family. And I will say, when we got her file, we finally received that file, it was challenging. It was scary. The list of needs was long. And we were the family several years ago who had said, we want a healthy baby girl. And here we were with this file. That was complicated and scary. And we contacted several different specialists to have them review her file. And they all, you know, what they had to say was not easy to hear. One specialist even told us that she was going to need, they all told us that she would need extensive care, but this one in particular asked us if we thought that we had the financial means to pay for her. All of this medical care that she would need. And we shared that we certainly, that it would be a financial concern. And she responded quickly and easily that she thought that we should release that file and let somebody with more money adopt her. Of course, that challenged us even further. And we said yes, knowing that she was clearly the child that the Lord intended for us. So when we got to China, she was living in a healing home, as I said, in Beijing with nurses and round-the-clock medical care and her surgeries and her care being funded by Love Without Boundaries.
Wow. So if that's not enough, because that's a huge amount of stuff to walk through, but you're waiting to bring her home and you got a call about another child. So Rebecca, share with us about that.
Yes. Well, as soon as we got her file and started pursuing her, we got a medical expedite and were pushing so hard to get to her. But we were just, we hit obstacle. Even with the medical expedite, we hit obstacle after obstacle. So our wait extended much longer than we hoped for and what we felt was safe for her. But once again, it was in the Lord's timing, because our agency at some point in that process contacted us. They had reviewed our file and saw that we had said that we would be open to adopting two children at a time and asked if that was still the case. And we kind of shaky knees and lots of fear and trembling talked and prayed and decided to say yes to that. But we didn't pursue. We were so focused on our youngest daughter and her medical needs and getting to her and even preparing at home, that we didn't actively at that point start pursuing a child on our own. But we told them we were open to it. And then several weeks later, I received a call when my husband happened to be out of town late on a Tuesday night, saying that we had been matched with a little boy. And of course, my jaw dropped, and I, you know, again, shaky knees, nervous, what in the world, but also excitement. Realized that this most likely, almost immediately, was something that this was the work of the Lord, and saw his little face, and once again, felt immediately that to me, even before talking with my husband, that he was to be ours. So that was our son, who was older than the other daughter that we were adopting, already in pursuit of. So called my husband, who was in Dubai, and we tried to process the reality that we had just received this very unexpected file. And oh my goodness, we think that we actually want him and he's meant to be ours. So we processed through that and said a quick yes and started the paperwork for him.
Wow. So when you finally traveled to China, it was to adopt both your little girl, who was almost two.
Yes.
And a little boy who was three.
Mm-hmm.
So what feelings and emotions were going on when you're on your way to China, you get to China? That was a huge step of faith.
It was massive. I shed lots and lots of tears. Mark and I wrestled with God a lot. Although we knew it was what we were being called to do, we were scared. We were completely, absolutely terrified of what God was asking us to do. We knew he was asking us, so we just kept doing the next thing we needed to do to get to them. But we were heavy on emotion. My husband handles logistics a great deal for our family. He is kind of our family superhero, and he went into superhero mode as soon as we got on the plane to travel there. And he just basically carried my emotional self on his back and helped make this happen. We, our agency asked that we get to adopt our son first. His diagnosis was cleft lip and cleft palate. Both were repaired. So he was mostly healthy, and they wanted us to adopt him and spend time with him first, which was very, very wise. It settled our hearts because he was sweet and loving and cuddly and joyful from the very first day. We met him in his big orphanage, giant orphanage outside of Beijing, and he cried a little bit and then settled in, and he was one of us, and he brought joy. And it was so evident that he used him to settle our hearts. So when we got back to adopt Evelyn, we actually stayed overnight in her healing home, and she was very sick, very sick. Her little cheeks was bright red. We got to keep her overnight because we were on their property. And even though we weren't officially able to adopt her yet, and she screamed all night long. Her nurses, while she was screaming, were trying to teach me how to do just care for her medically. And it was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. And I've been honest with others and just said, I didn't think that I could do it. Thankfully, the Lord again had my husband in that superhero mode. He just took action and, you know, helped us get through the steps. But I was emotional. I really was. I didn't know if we could do it. We then had to fly. We flew her and her nanny with us to her province, and she screamed the whole time. She was just so sick. It was so evident. She was sweating and red and high fever and so uncomfortable. And so that was scary. The plane ride, the nanny was to hold her just to keep her safe on that flight, since she wasn't officially ours yet. And I was just terrified. Then we got to the hotel and she had to stay with the nanny again. The nanny's room was right beside ours, and we could hear her crying the whole night. So it was just, it was terrifying. It was terrifying. She was very sick. But we knew that the Lord was having us do this, and I loved her. I loved her just as much as I had from that first photo. It was just terrifying. So, of course, we went through the process, never a question, went through the process to adopt her in Nanjing, China.
So what was, as hard as it was in China, what was the adjustment like when you brought them home?
When we came home, we knew that we needed to get her to a specialist as soon as possible. We took her to several appointments and they told us that she was going to need lots of surgeries, lots of care, kind of helped us during our first week. And then the start of the second week with her home, with both of them home, we went to a specialist and he saw us in his office and told us that he was amazed that she was alive, that amazed that she had lived as long as she had, and amazed that she had survived the flight. So we were admitted immediately to the hospital. So for the two of them, for our youngest two, it was just do what we had to do. A lot of what we knew to be best practices, what we hoped to do in terms of attachment and bonding, just couldn't happen because she was admitted to the hospital, lots and lots of tests. Our son, thankfully, just continued to be sweet and easy and joyful, and he settled in and was as content as he could be in a strange place, in a new home, but he settled in and was okay at home while we were in and out of the hospital. Then for the next several years it ended up being, but I feel like for our attachment with her, I feel like that it actually sped up a bit, even though we would have loved for attachment purposes and bonding purposes to have waited to begin her medical care. We were in the hospital with her and she was enduring all sorts of very, very invasive testing and just went on and on and on and on. So she attached to us quickly. She had, when we adopted her, she was feisty and afraid and angry with us and fought bonding in country and then that first week at home. But then in the hospital with so many strangers coming in and out, we became her safe people. So somehow I feel like the Lord used that to bond us. So it was crazy, but clearly the Lord's hand was all over it.
And you survived. Here you
we
are.
We survived.
It's been 6 years. Everybody's been home.
Yes.
Your kids now range, your oldest biological is 12 down to 8. Your daughter with the severe medical conditions are 8. What is life like now?
Well, we have settled in and I feel like that we have gotten through the attachment bonding process and everybody is in a good place family-wise. Our children have had, you know, the range of therapies and that sort of thing. And are mostly healthy. The youngest daughter, who with all the complications still has surgeries ahead. But we're in a good place. But they're at an age now, our children from adoption being 8, 9, and 11 now, are at a stage when they're processing their adoption. And lots of questions. They're all three very different. Their questions are different. The amount that they want to talk about are different. But we're experiencing lots of questions right now, lots of just where is my birth mother? Is she still alive? Why has this happened? Kids coming home from school saying, everybody in my class was from their mommy's tummy. I wanted to have been from yours. Why wasn't I in your tummy? Questions like that. Will I ever see my birth parents? Just hard things. And then questions about their medical needs. Why would God do this? Why would he allow this? So we're processing. I mean, we are home. We're fully a family, but we have children that are through adoption and they've experienced great trauma and great great loss. So we are processing that still.
And one of the things that you mentioned that you do in helping them to process are you do life books with them. So could you tell us, explain for our listeners who might not know, what is a life book? How do you make one? What purpose do they serve?
Sure. Life books are the adoption equivalent to just a scrapbook, just to a baby book. We have created just one so far, and our other two are begging for theirs. But for us, a life book is a photo book and filled with photos of our child's life, all that we know, the true story of their life and their adoption. And we have told their story as truthfully as we know. Being kid friendly, we have told the truth still, even the hard parts. And it includes photos, the first photos of them, of course, the timeline, photos of our process while at home, us with paperwork, us celebrating her birthday while she wasn't with us, things like that. And that book is a treasure. It is an absolute treasure to her. We've told her that it is hers, that she can share it, she cannot share it, it's up to her. And it's just treasured. And our other two children are very anxious for theirs. I just started working on another one for an upcoming birthday for our son. And so that brought all, the life book back out and all the questions. And they're meaningful for the kids. It's their story and it's something in their hands that they can hold on to. So just a treasure that we've chosen to create for them.
You have a website, which is... Yes. RebeccaRadicki.com, and you you actually have resources available for purchase to create life books. You've got lots of stuff there. You have a blog, mm-hmm. lots of inspirational writing, but also some resources for life books. So we want to make sure we let our listeners know that they can go there, learn more about life books, and even get those resources. And we'll make sure that also your website, there's a link to that in the show notes in the blog post for this episode. I encourage our listeners to go to Rebecca's website and her blog. The encouragement you'll find there is wonderful. It's RebeccaRadicki.com. And we want to make sure that they get that information. And again, as well as links to Love Without Boundaries and Lifeline. So speaking of Love Without Boundaries, Rebecca, tell us a little bit more about them. And you recently traveled to Uganda to do some work with them too. So share with us a little bit about that.
I would love to. Love Without Boundaries, again, was the organization that very much and several times saved the life of our daughter in China with her medical care. And so we just are committed to that organization. Our heart is with that organization. We want to pay it forward. And they're an organization, again, originally focused on China, on orphan care and foster care in China, medical care. And now are reaching children in a few other countries, including Uganda. And I'm a writer, and it was a bucket list thing for me, again, to be able to pay forward a bit with that organization. So they were traveling to Uganda to meet with some families who had already received the medical care that Love Without Boundaries had paid for, and just beautiful miracle stories, children who had needed major heart surgeries, who were walking around playing, happy, healthy children, which was a joy. And also with families with children who were fragile, these that we met with at this on our trip were heart babies with really extreme medical needs who will need to be flown out of the country to receive the care that they need. So they were there meeting with them, and I was there to write their stories to then when we returned to help fundraise for their surgeries. They also do foster care. They have a school there. So we visited out in very remote parts of Uganda potential foster homes, and also did visits with social workers to actual foster families. So it was my great honor to go along on this trip with a very, very intentional and strategic organization doing incredible work. And I was there to write the stories. Great honor.
Yeah, I'll look forward to being able to read some of those. So again, we'll put that link to Love Without Boundaries in the podcast notes, because it is an incredible work on behalf of orphans and vulnerable children. So Rebecca, as we wrap up here today, any last thoughts? What is on your heart that you want to make sure our listeners hear?
Well, I think that the main thing that we learned through our process is that the Lord always has something to say. Mm. Always. When we made the decision to adopt, the Lord had something to say. He had an actual action that he wanted us to say yes to. And then while we're waiting, he had lessons that he needed us to learn, that he was being intentional, even in the ridiculously long, ridiculously painful wait. He had things to tell us. And then, of course, in the process of adopting kids with medical needs and helping them process their stories, all of that, he has things to tell us. He has things he wants us to actually do and say yes to still. And then now that our hearts are even further broken for orphans and vulnerable children, he is still talking. He has something to say. He has ways he wants to use us and use our story. So I guess just the reminder that the Lord is always at work. He's always intentional, even when it's unclear, even when it's not as we would choose, our situations aren't as we would choose for them to be. He's always, always talking, always has something to say. And it's just a matter of believing that and stopping to listen, to stop talking, to stop planning, to stop my idea of what caring for vulnerable children now would look like, and just listen and be willing to say yes when he asks us to do all kinds of things and then has lessons for our own hearts and our own families as well.
Oh, incredible advice. Love what you're doing. Love your heart. Yeah, God is always speaking to us. He has things for us to do and to learn, things for us to say yes to. We just need to press in and listen and then step out in obedience, which is what you did, what your family did. So thank you so much, Rebecca, for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you. It was an honor. Thank you for the work that you're doing and your voice and in the community for vulnerable children. I'm grateful.
Thank you. Thank you.
My
it's
joy.
My honor. Yeah, my honor. This is my heart too. And this is something God called me to do that I had to say yes to. And it was scary initially. Mm-hmm. But here we are. And it's my honor and privilege to be able to talk with folks like you who heard and heeded God's call and put your yes on the table. So thank you.
Thank you.
You're part of, I know the lives of your children have been transformed as well as many, many others through your work and your writing. So thank you.
Thank you. How blessed are we to be doing this work and be living out what God has called us. It's just a blessing.
It is. We get to do this. And
we get to.
We are blessed. So we thank you. And I hope you enjoyed our conversation with Rebecca Radicke. And you can find her blog and other resources on her website, RebeccaRadicke.com. We'll include a link to her site. And also, as we mentioned, the adoption agency Lifeline that they use and the charity Love Without Boundaries. We'll put those all in the show notes for episode 213 of Orphans No More. We are grateful to you, our listeners. Some of us are called to adopt, some are called to foster, but we are all called to care. How are you using your gifts to impact the lives of children in crisis? Let us know. We want to hear from you. You can reach out to us at our website, justicefororphansny.org, and let us know. Let us know what you're doing. Let us know what's on your heart. What would you like to hear on this podcast? What are some topics of interest for you? Some guests that you would like us to talk with? We exist here to serve you. We want to encourage you, to inspire you, and we want to hear how we can do that best. So please reach out to us. Our favorite emails are from our listeners. And I'm I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I'm also on the final stretch of book edits for my book, Orphans No More, A Journey Back to the Father. And I'm actually getting some extra work done on that since we are sort of, I was going to say self-quarantined. We are not sick here at my house. We are just stuck in the house. So it helps us to get some extra work done and some writing done when I'm not having to do the homeschooling thing. So stay tuned for that. We're hoping that the book will be released this summer sometime. So stay tuned to this podcast and to our social media for news and updates on that. And you can find more episodes of Orphans No More on your favorite podcast platform and also on our website. Again, that is justicefororphansny.org. Thank you for listening, and I look forward to being right back here with you next time on Orphans No More.
Thank you for listening to Orphans No More, for sharing what you've heard and praying for vulnerable children everywhere. We hope you are inspired to walk out James 1:27 in whatever way God calls you. For more information, visit justicefororphansny.org.